Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. Our discussion for today focuses on the topic of community engagement as a means of reconciliation with those who have been disenfranchised. We hope that you enjoy it and that you take some practical ideas to apply to your life and to your local community. Thank you for listening, and with nothing else to say, let us begin. Welcome back again, everyone, to Disruptive Adventism. Today, we have a very special guest, and we're going to be talking about the topic of community engagement. And this guest is also related to one of our earlier podcast interviews. So maybe she will share with you, or you'll be able to guess right away. Our guest today is Melanie Hunter, and she is based in the South. So she'll explain a little bit more about that. And we'll be talking about the topic of community engagement and why that's important for today's society. So let's get right into it. Melanie, how's it going?
It's going well, Jose. Thank you for inviting me. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. And well, right here in Michigan, it's a little bit, it's not too cold. So that's a real plus for us right now. So it's not getting too cold. How's the weather over there?
It's sunny, well, partly sunny today, and it's not cold. So I'm glad. I mean, it's cool, but it's not cold.
That's awesome. I'm really, really happy to hear that. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what you do and where you're based, and also who are you related to in our podcast series?
Okay, so I am actually located in the Louisville, Kentucky area. I live in southern Indiana, but it's part of the greater metropolitan area. I'm currently self-employed as a productivity coach, and I'm also very active in my church, which is in Middletown, Kentucky. And I am the mother of two wonderful Andrews University students. My son and my daughter are there. My son, Paul Turner, was your guest earlier. He's actually in the seminary up there at Andrews. And then my daughter, Mia Hunter, is also in the undergrad.
Awesome. Good to hear. I'm really happy to hear that. Well, good to hear also about your coaching, about the different things that you do. But let's get started with the topic today. And our topic today is about community engagement. So let's start with some definitions and seeing what is community engagement and what are you doing right now to engage in your local context?
Okay, so community engagement, for me, it's, as you had mentioned earlier, is like the practical side of the gospel. So the gospel, as far as I understand it, is not just about teaching people doctrines and trying to get people to come to church, but it's really about serving the community with no strings attached. And whatever way we can do that, whether it's through our church or as individuals, we are called to do that. And so the ministry that I guess we'll be talking about today is the homeless ministry that was recently, that I recently launched. On the first or second day of October, I saw a friend's post in my newsfeed on Facebook, and she was showing pictures of some care packages that she and her daughter create on Sunday evenings to pass out to people as they encounter them as they go about work and school and whatever they do. And I, as soon as I saw that picture, I remembered that that idea had crossed my mind a few times in the past. My mother also had talked about doing that and having the packets in the car as we go around the city, but we had neither of us had actually brought it to fruition. So the Spirit said, do it now. So I got up from being on my laptop looking at Facebook, and I went right to the dollar store, and I immediately purchased items for 10 care packages. And I said, I'm going to do it today, because if I put it off anymore, it'll be 5 more years and I won't do it. And so I put together these care packages, and they had little hygiene products in it and some non-perishable food items that a person doesn't need to heat up or refrigerate. Put them in packets, and I put pictures of it on Facebook, and I told people what I was doing. You know, at that moment, I wasn't even, you know, knowing what was going to be the future of it. And I said, I'm going to be taking these out on Friday night to pass out. Well, immediately one of my friends liked it. Oh, one of the things I did was I told people the reason why I'm showing you this is because I'm going to need your help, because I can't afford to do with so much myself. Mm-hmm. And so immediately one of my friends commented, and she said, well, I'll donate $20 to it. And so she did that through either Cash App or PayPal or one of those methods. And I went out and bought some more stuff and made some more packages. And I called my boyfriend. And I said, I need your help. I want to go out and pass out these packets to the homeless. I don't want to go by myself for safety reasons. And so he was, as usual, supportive, and he jumped on board. And that was the beginning of our homeless ministry. And this past Friday night was our fourth time going out. Our goal is to pass out 75 packets every week. We haven't hit that goal every week, but, you know, week after week, the Lord has blessed. The day after we went out the first time, by the time I woke up on Sabbath morning, I had $140 worth of donations from people, some of who live here, some who live across the country. And so every week is just a faith journey, just asking people to donate to our ministry. We call ourselves the Sidewalk Servants, and we're able to we took blankets out this past, actually we went out, was it Saturday night? We went out an extra day, or maybe it was Sunday. So besides the care packages, I also went out there, and I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself with my story, but we were able to go out there and pass out blankets, because when we went Friday night, we encountered a man who said that a woman had died on the street from exposure to the cold that previous week. And I'm thinking, you know, I got a closet full of coats, and you know, a lot of people I know have coats and blankets that they don't use. And so I put that out on Facebook, and people started giving me blankets. I had a trunk full of blankets to pass out on Sunday night. So we went out an extra day. And the Lord's just been blessing and blessing. So that's a little bit about what I'm doing.
That sounds really great. Honestly, it's like, it sounds like it's a real, real blessing for a lot of people and how they're engaging with, you know, just the whole idea of, you know, contributing and giving back to the community. So, but something that I guess I'm really interested in is, how do you decide to start all of this? Was it just like, okay, you sense like this desire to help the community, to help the, and the Holy Spirit definitely did something powerful in your heart. However, a lot of people, you know, maybe in their local context have homeless, or maybe they have another crisis, maybe with water in Flint, or maybe they have other problems that have occurred around the country. So how does someone get started to engage with the community?
That's an excellent question. And, you know, I've always had, or at least for the better part of my adult life, I've had an interest in volunteering. I was able to volunteer through my last corporate America employer, because they had a lot of volunteerism that was promoted there. And I love going out and serving food to people and, you know, what is it, Habitat for Humanity, and all those type things. So I've had an interest in a while in volunteering, and I still do, but I knew I could do more. And really, it literally was when I saw my friend's post, I just had to do it. And what I want to encourage people, in my experience, you start with what you have, okay? This is not through my church. My church members, some of them are aware of what I'm doing because they're on my Facebook page, but I didn't need my church to do it. I took $35, I went to Dollar Tree, and I did what I could. And then I shared with my friends what I'm doing, you know, by Facebook. That's the true power of social media. Had I not seen my friend's post, I might not have thought about, you know what, there's people laying on the sidewalks and you drive past them every day. Instead of just looking the other way, do something about it. If I hadn't seen her post on social media, I might not have done it. And then if I hadn't shared what I'm doing on social media, all these people wouldn't have had the opportunity to share what now is several hundred dollars towards these care packages. And now it's inspiring them to do, you know, different ones have said, oh, I'm going to let my students do a project like this. A teacher said that. And others are like, maybe I can do something in my community. So that's the true power of social media. But instead of thinking, oh, we need a homeless ministry, let me go to my church board and see if they want to do it. You really don't need your church board. I didn't have a lot of money to spend towards, or I didn't spend a lot of money on it. But now that seed has been planted, and I, you know, was able to set up a Cash App. At first, I was using my own, but after the second week, I was like, this is going to be big. So I set up a separate checking account, a separate Cash App, a separate PayPal for Sidewalk Servants. And so now when people make donations, I'm keeping track of it, and all, you know, it blows up and it becomes a quote unquote real organization. I've got my donor records. Now keep in mind, I'm a record keeper. I'm very organized. So that's just the kind of stuff I do. I like to write everything down, but you don't even have to do that. Don't think about how big it's going to be and get overwhelmed. I tell people on my Facebook Live videos, I'm not trying to solve homelessness. That's in somebody else's bailiwick. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just trying to show them on the streets that Jesus cares. There's a block in downtown Louisville, actually two blocks, where the people literally lay on the sidewalks and sleep. And I know our city is not unique in that, but it's heartbreaking. They're laying across from a popular homeless shelter and drug rehab program that's there. But a lot of these men, and there are women out there too, who can't get a bed in there. And so they're literally on the streets. And I mean, it's filthy out there. There's food garbage, there's vomit. There's just filth out there, and they're living there. And I said, if I can just be a light, if I can just do one little thing for these people right here, because we see the same people week after week, because they live there. That's where they live. I live in a house in the suburbs. They live on that sidewalk. All their earthly belongings are there. I can do this one small thing. This past Friday night, we were blessed that a friend of mine, again, who saw what I was doing, and he said, what can I do? He caters dinners. Something he's doing for a business, but he had some extra food left over one week in the freezer that he didn't sell. So he said, I'm going to make some dinners and meet you out there and give what I can to your, well, not my people, but I call them my people out on the sidewalk. And so he brought some meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and cabbage dinners out there. And so we were able to give them these care packages with hygiene and snack food items. And then he was able to give them a hot meal. And that was that week. He can't do that every week, but he said he'll try to do it every other week with whatever he's left over with from his dinners. And it's just going from there. Everybody's messaging me. I want to come out with you on Friday night, because we need people to, even if people can't donate money, I tell them, we need you to pray. I need you to share my videos and my posts with your friend list. And we also, if you don't want to donate money, you can donate items. And one of my cousins, she brought me 6 care packages that she made with some little items that she went to Dollar Tree and got. People get inspired. And it's just like the song says, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. The little bit I'm doing in my little corner of the world, I'm hoping that there's people on the West Coast, the East Coast, that might, if it's not with homeless, maybe it's with some people in addiction. Maybe it's with single parents. Maybe it's with whatever need they see. But it can be inspired by what they're seeing me doing. And that's really where it all starts.
So it seems to me that the first step that you took was to kind of evaluate one of the biggest needs that you had in your community. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, they literally are on one of the main streets in our downtown area. So there's numerous times I've passed them. You see them laying there. And I just, again, I wasn't really thinking about them until I saw what somebody else was doing. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, you know what? I know where they are. I know where they sleep. One thing that's interesting about the dynamic here in Louisville, recently they've done some gentrifying and some leveling up of the downtown area. And a lot of the places where they hid and lived more out of sight have been removed. Mm. They've closed up a lot of the viaducts. They're beautifying the city. But by doing that, now the people don't have as many places to be out of sight, which is what I know the city unfortunately wants. They want to hide the problem. But now they're in plain sight because you destroyed all their camps. And so it's bringing it to a lot of other people's attention. We ran into some other homeless ministries out there while we were there. I don't know if they're by secular groups or if they're church-based, but they were passing out food. And they were giving us some advice about where to go and how to stay safe and things of that nature. But yeah, identifying, it usually starts, Jose, I found, with something that bothers you or something that annoys you. Whether you feel a positive feeling towards it or negative, like if you're disgusted by it, you don't think you should, you don't want to hear about it, you don't want to see it, it could be that it's up to you to do something about it.
So maybe it's not necessarily only about thinking or just, you know, if I'm uncomfortable with people around there, like let's say homeless, or maybe I'm uncomfortable with other groups that may be, or in my opinion, may be unsafe. Maybe I can start turning around and start engaging with them in the community. Maybe that's what you guys started from.
Absolutely. Because a lot of these people, you know, I was talking to my boyfriend, his name is Curtis. I was talking to him the other day and I was like, he was just commenting that a lot of these people are highly intelligent. They might've just fallen on hard times. We look down on them because they're dirty, but it could just take a haircut, a shower and a job. And they would look just like everybody else. Some of the people, they might be out of their minds. Some of them are on drugs, but it's not all of them. And so I treat them like human beings. I talk to them like I talk to everybody else. I'm alert of my surroundings. I'm not reckless, but I'm not treating them with fear. That's what everybody treats them like they're going to do something to them. Most of them are just people that just don't have anywhere to live. They're grateful. They say thank you. And we talk to them. I talk to them like, I joke around with them like I joke around with everybody else. And sometimes that's just what people want, is to be treated like a human being. That's what I'm finding to be the case.
Now, a lot of people are feeling maybe that, hey, that's actually the feeling that they have when they encounter dangerous people, quote unquote, is that they're afraid, that they are afraid that something is going to happen to them and that something is going to go against their will, or, maybe they're going to be in a very dangerous situation. How would you respond, as you have been interacting with these people and you have been engaging with this community? How would you respond to people that are saying, well, I'm really afraid and I don't really want to, go out there and have an expense of my own or have something that may be of a detriment to me?
That's a good question, Jose. And you always have to be mindful of what you're doing and take safety precautions. That's why I don't do it by myself. It was my idea. It wasn't me and Curtis's idea together. I decided I want to do it. I was going to do it, but I was very mindful of, okay, you're going out on the streets in the evening, sometimes after dark, you need to have somebody with you. But again, as long as you are, you don't have to do it that way. There's things that you can do to help. And just using the example of what I'm doing, there's things that you can do to help homeless people during the day. You don't have to walk the streets and help them. You can go to the places that feed them during the day and volunteer. They always are needing people to serve the food at soup kitchens. I know we have a very homeless friendly society here in Louisville. I'm told that homeless people sometimes migrate to Louisville because we have more homeless friendly policies and resources than other places. Mm-hmm. So they can come here and find more places that are feeding, find more places that give away things. And the weather's a little bit milder than like we're up there in Michigan where you are. So it's easier to be homeless here than maybe in some other areas. And so they come here. But there's other ways to help. And then the other thing is, as people of God, and I know that's who this podcast is mainly being targeted for, as people of God, we cannot live in fear of every little thing. If Jesus had done that, he would not have touched the lepers and healed them. If he had done that, he wouldn't have fooled with Zacchaeus. If he had done that, he wouldn't have dealt with the demoniac. There are so many things that Jesus did. We can say, well, he was God, he had all power, but he was human at that time. He was not using his powers in that way to protect him from harm, so to speak. He went to where the people were and he dealt with them. Unless we're willing to do that, how can we say we're followers of Christ if we're afraid of the very people he would have? We know Jesus would have been out there with the homeless people if he were here on earth. He is here on earth. I am the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. He is here on this earth through us. And so it's up to us to do the things that he would be doing if he were physically still here. So don't leave with fear. Ask God to be with you. Learn all you can about being safe in the situation that you're dealing with, whatever it may be, and just go ahead and do it.
Mm. I think that's a very good advice. And definitely I can resonate with the idea that, hey, Jesus was actually out there. He was actually healing and teaching and doing all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. He was literally trying to reach the world that we are sometimes afraid of. And I think that your point is very valid. Now, as you have been going with sidewalk servants?
Sidewalk servants, yes.
All right, so sidewalk servants. And have you encountered the same individual multiple times? Have you interacted with different people's stories at this point?
Yes, so we do see the same people week after week because, again, this is their home. Even though it's not locked up, they can't keep us out of their home. This is their home. So each week as we go back, we're seeing the same faces over and over sometimes. And when we encountered another group out there, they happened to be out the same time as us. I think they call themselves the Street Disciples, and they were passing out. That day they were passing out hot dogs, but they just had various different things. And they were telling us that the main thing, they said, if you're going to do this, be committed to it. Hmm. Be consistent. A lot of people do a flash in the pan thing. They see the homeless out there. They feel guilty. They get a warm, fuzzy feeling from a quick activity with the people, and then they never see them again. He said they've been out there. At least he has been out there for four years. He said the people know me. They trust me. There's places where you can go where the homeless live, but they're not out in the open like the ones that we mainly deal with. But they know to come out of hiding and come out on the street when those people are going to be coming back. They have said, we're coming back on Friday at 6. You can depend on us. Meet us here. We'll have food for you. We'll have whatever it is they're passing out. So he said, mainly be consistent because they are consistent. The people are there all the time. They're there every single day, not just on the days that I'm there helping them, but on every day. And so be consistent. There's another ministry It's actually here in Southern Indiana called Exit Zero Homeless Ministry, and they've been out for many years feeding the homeless. I think they try to feed them every day of the week. I think they feed them once, and they partner with churches and other groups. I have volunteered with youth groups from our church and a couple other groups that participate with that ministry. But again, they've been consistent, and you know, they even partner with local restaurants. Yesterday, they that Exit Zero Ministry picked up a van load of people and took them to one of the barbecue restaurants here in town and fed the people inside the restaurant. And I just thought that was so beautiful, because I'm sure they get rousted if they try to go inside a place of business. They usually don't have the money, but even if they do, they don't want those kinds of people inside a restaurant. So for them to be treated to a meal and treat not only out on the street given the meal, but in the actual restaurant, I thought that was so beautiful. But yes, I do see the same people over and over. Some I don't. They kind of, what they know is if they get the word out that these people are going to be coming by, they come by every week at about 7, and they got some good care packages, people start to show up. They'll be there at that time because they're looking for what they missed out on the previous week, but they found out about from their buddy. There's a great sense of community and looking out for each other out there on the streets, which I find that you don't always have that amongst people who have more means. These people, if I come up and I'm passing out the package, they say, well, can I get one for my friend? That's his stuff right there. He might have just walked off for a little while, but he'll be back. And I leave one for him too. You know, they're looking out for each other. And I thought that was just beautiful. They don't have anything. They barely have anything. They don't even have clothes on their back sometimes, but they are willing to share with the person next to them. I think that's I'm being blessed and learning lessons of life more so than they're being blessed by the little things that I'm giving them, I believe. And I hope that that's the message I can convey to people as I share my experiences all week, every week with Sidewalk Servants.
That sounds really great. I mean, to me, I think that you are also being ministered to because you're learning from them and from their experiences. I mean, I think that that's a great thing that as, you know, as you're interacting with them, you can see humility. You can see that they are being willing to share with one another and that they are just, you know, humble enough to recognize that even though they're in the same situation, they want to help each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, as we start kind of closing out into this part of the podcast, I would like to maybe speak about what is the goal that Sidewalk Servants have, you know, and for the future. What is, as you guys are starting ministering to the needs of these people, what is the final goal? Is there like some sort of restoration that you guys are looking for?
You know, we're just starting out. We don't really even have a goal. As far as I can see, my goal is to just keep just showing them Jesus' love. Like I said, I'm not trying to end homelessness. There's people that won't do what I'm doing because they're like, that's not going to make that big of a difference. But it makes a difference to those people at that moment that we're there handing them. If you could just see the look on their face when we make eye contact with them instead of just throwing something at them, but treat them like a human being and ask them, would you like a gift? And we give it to them. The look on their face, they're appreciative of those things that we all take for granted, those of us that live in homes and have things of our own. And so our goal is just to keep showing them Jesus's love. We have no ulterior motive. About the only way that they could even come close to coming back into our world is I do always include a glow track in the packets, a glow track being the Adventist Church, the little tracks that we give out. So they can sign up for Bible studies or whatever the address says on the back and maybe engage in that way. But otherwise, there's no strings attached. I actually also include a half sheet that's got 800 numbers for some resources for people that on the street that they might need some stuff for veterans. There's some kind of thing about health on there. There's a phone number for runaways. There's a suicide hotline on there. I got that idea on Google. When I was just looking to see what other people are putting in their care packages, I saw that there's a church out there that they put a list of those resources in theirs. And so I just copied the same thing they had. And I want to just say that's one thing that I want to encourage people is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to try to figure it all out. No matter what you think about doing, I guarantee somebody else has already done it. And you can just Google it and see, you know, how do I do that? How do I get started? What do I do? All I knew is, I need to be giving. I need to be doing more. Not in the future when I can do it big. Don't wait till you, okay, I want to do it. Oh, I want to start a nonprofit. I know people that do that. They want to start a nonprofit, so they don't think about how they can start right now before they get to that level, doing just a little bit. One of my favorite motivational speakers, Les Brown, always talks about do the little bit that you can right now, every day or every week. Be doing a little bit on your dream and move up instead of just saying, I've got this big dream, and since I can't do it big, I'm not going to do it at all. You know, I'm just going to wait. You know, that's not the way it should be. So I forgot what question I was answering.
No problem. I think I agree with you that, you know, starting small is the best way because, I mean, so far you guys have grown, you know, since day one.
Yes.
Day one is just like very different now that you guys are growing and that, you know, it's going to continue growing and wherever the Lord leads it. And I really appreciate also that there's no ulterior motive because I think that's what the gospel is. Like, you know, it's just showing up and bringing on the good news. And then, you know, they will come because they will show up because we're being loving, we're ministering to the needs. And eventually, of course, as they see maybe the glow track or the other lines, it's important that they recognize that they need help from different sources.
Yes. I'll put a BibleStudyOffer.com track in there because, again, all of them are not necessarily, like, they might be on the street right now, but it could be a couple weeks from now, they might be off the street again. So I don't want to just assume they're always going to be there. They might, you know, a lot of them, they have access to, you know, computers in the library, in the free public library. And so there's nothing to say that they can't sign up for Bible studies and do them that kind of way. So I always, you know, I want to give them something that's beyond items. But the items that I put in my thing, for the most part, is just to let them know that somebody cares. We recognize that you're out here. The blankets were so appreciated. I felt good. When I heard that woman had died, nobody might not even know her name. I don't know who she was, but it's not even that cold yet, Jose. And there's already people dying of exposure on the streets. And I had 4 blankets, comforters in my closet that I was never going to put on my bed again because I don't like the way they look anymore. But I just had them in there just in case. I took them right out there. Those people appreciated them. My cousin gave me about 10 comforters that she had. She was like, I've been talking about cleaning out this linen closet. I just never got around to it. But since you're doing this, here, take all this. Take these pants. Take these jackets. Take these backpacks. So I was able to put pants on the people out there. It was just so beautiful. Again, I get a good feeling, but it's not a good feeling like I'm so great. And it's just a good feeling of knowing I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do instead of just doing things for myself all the time.
That's great. I'm really happy to hear that. And I'm just excited to see where you guys go. I mean, after 1 month, you guys have grown and hopefully is going to continue to grow and continue to bless other people. And maybe it's going to encourage also some people that are listening to start their own ministry.
Absolutely. There are 6 people that went out with us this past weekend, you know, and 6 people that went out and helped us pass out the packets. You know, that's all I want. If they can't donate anything, just come out there with us. It's a lot trying to handle all the things in your hands. You got the packets, and you're trying to talk to people, and you're rolling the suitcase around. If we can have people just come out there and pray. I've got multiple ways that my friends and family can participate, so they really have no way to escape.
That's great. I think that's awesome. Well, thanks a bunch. We appreciate your time here. It's been an awesome interview, like, you know, kind of just talking about the importance of community engagement, knowing your community and understanding the needs that are occurring at this time. I think that's just awesome to know. Now, if somebody wants to be in touch with you, before we give you the final word, how do they get in touch with you and how do they contribute to Sidewalk Servants?
Thank you so much. So our email address is sidewalkservants502@gmail.com. And if you want to donate through PayPal and give something, the care packets are only $3.50 a piece. So, you know, if you give $20, that'll supply about 6 packets. But anyway, if you want to PayPal, you can send it to sidewalkservants502@gmail.com. Our Cash App handle is just $ sidewalkservants. And you can also email me if you just want to talk to me about it. I'm on Facebook under my name. So if you just want to see me on there, you can do that. But anything helps. Just pray. If you happen to be on my friend list, you can share my videos and my posts just to raise awareness of it. Not just for me to get donations, but to inspire other people to do what they can in their communities. And then again, the Cash App, Sidewalk Servants, and then the PayPal, sidewalkservants502@gmail.com, and you can help us that way. But keep us in your prayers as we continue. It's getting colder, so There's different needs during the winter than there are in the summer. So we just hope to be a blessing.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks again. Thank you very much. And as it is our tradition here at Disruptive Adventism, we'd like to give you the final word on community engagement. So tell us, what is the final word on this matter?
The final word on this matter is that we need to stop hiding inside of our churches and come out and start doing the work. You don't need your church board's approval. It doesn't even have to be an official ministry. The day I went out there, I had 10 plastic bags with some stuff in it. I didn't have a name. I didn't know how I was going to afford anymore, but I was doing what I could that day. Start small and grow from there. If there's a problem that bothers you, that means you're supposed to do something about it. It might not be homelessness. It might be child abuse. It might be single mothers who are struggling. It might be that you see there's a need for stuff for people who are going through divorce. It might be just any type of need. It might be addiction. If there's a problem that bothers you and you're sitting there saying, when is somebody going to do something about that? Guess what? It's supposed to be you. And you need to do what you can. Don't say the problem's too big. Every problem starts one little solution at a time, and you can do what you can right there in your community to make a difference.
That was our time on the topic of community engagement with Melanie Hunter. She is a coach, so if you want to check out that, please go to melaniehunter.com. If you also want to help her out with the project, remember, Sidewalk Servants is that project if you want to donate, Cash App, or PayPal. Thank you for listening today. We really appreciate that you're listening. Please share this topic or many other topics that we have on our podcast with others and continue to contribute. If you haven't rated us on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app, every rating helps. So please make sure to do that. Thank you. Please send your comments, your feedback, maybe a series that you want to see featured, maybe a person that you want to see featured. We do remote interviews as well, so that's no problem. Please help us to get the word out there. And if you want to contribute financially, please make sure to do so at patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Every dollar helps. We start at $1 a month and we keep this podcast going because of your contributions. We want to thank our patrons out there. Thank you very much for helping us out and for helping us to expand. We want to continue going into different projects like YouTube and maybe developing some content, some physical content. So please make sure to continue to support us. We really appreciate it. And well, that's it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.